Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of For My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly For My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. I'd like to also welcome my sister, Emily. Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. How was your Easter weekend?
It was good. Not very eventful, but it was good.
It's not very eventful. Hey, did you get a chance to eat a lot of, food, as in, lambs or roast lamb or anything like that?
No, we actually just went and ate it on the border. So.
Oh, that's right. All the restaurants are open on the
Easter
now, and so it makes it a little bit easier. Well, my girlfriend and I, we had a great time eating Korean barbecue.
Kalbi. That sounds good.
Yeah, she's an excellent cook, by the way, so I was surprised at how well she did it. And, of course, this was right after, I hope she don't mind me mentioning this on the air, it was real funny, but, we had, like, 3 false fire alarm, and, no one came out, you know, but it was just funny that it was so smoky that it set off the alarm. But after all that, it was fabulous food, so I'm really excited about that. So anyway, welcome back to the show for this week. We will be spending the next hour on the air honoring moms everywhere for their spiritual and inspirational contribution in making positive difference in the lives of their loved ones. If you'd like to join us, please call 347-327-9995 and share your own experiences of motherly love. This show would like to promote motherly love on the air, bring it on center stage, and it's based on my book, From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. And for those of you who like to have a live chat, please write in. Emily is managing our chat room this morning. I know we've been having some problems the last couple of weeks, and some of it's technical, some of it I think we're just new at doing this show, so we're not quite up to speed yet in terms of certain things that we need to do. So we hope that every day, basically every week, each time when we get on the air, we'll get better and better at what we're doing. And I'd like to thank you for your patience for helping us walk through this. And so anyway, so I do want to thank you very much for being with us this morning. This show can also be retrieved and downloaded to your iPod by going to johnnytan.com, my personal blog, and also at frommymamaskitchen.com, the official site for my book, and frommymamaskitchentalkradio.com, which is a blogging site that I've set up for this talk radio. You can also download all other archives shows for your iPod at any time. For those of you who are new to the show, I would like to give you a quick rundown of what we do. At 9 minutes past the hour, we will begin with the appetizer segment of the show, that is welcoming our guests. And in this week, it is my 72-year-old Cajun mom, Ginger White, from Plaquemine, Louisiana. Now, Ginger has been with us about 3 weeks ago, but unfortunately, I've decided to redo the show because we had a huge technical glitch and we were sort of off the air for about a good 10 minutes or so. But she, like she said during that show, she never leave any of her child stranded. So she called back and was so nice enough to get back on the air with me. And that was really, really wonderful. So I'm very thankful about that. Then we will continue to our main entree, the topic of the day. And this week's topic will be having humor in everything we do. To me, on all my 9 moms, Ginger is the guru of having humor in everything we do. I guess I don't know whether it's the fact that she's Cajun. I'm not really sure, but she always smiles and have a wonderful laughter that goes with it and very jovial. And it's been a wonderful person that I've known since 2000. Then we'll get our guests the opportunity in the dessert segment to give us their own recipe for living. And I know Ginger last 3 weeks ago we've given us a wonderful recipe for living. I'm not going to mention anything about that right now. I'm going to let her have the opportunity to mention that to you guys. I did have some someone and actually several people that asked me to again explain to them the unique recipe for living, and I'm going to save it for later to explain to someone what the to you all on the air about what the recipe for living means actually means, I guess, in this case. And at 9 before the hour, I will recap today's show and also give you a quick rundown of what is coming up in the following weeks from My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio and other events, the latest happenings with my book, From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living, which, by the way, is a great Mother's Day gift. And it's available at Amazon.com, at BarnesandNoble.com. See, Emily, right now we can talk about Mother's Day and have full attention simply because Easter is over, you know. So,
right.
So we can focus on that. And so I'm not too much into doing infomercials, but sometimes I guess I have to do that and promote my book. And for the people that have read my book, certainly have wrote some wonderful reviews at Barnes & Noble and as well as Amazon.com. And for that, I want to thank them on the air for doing such a wonderful review on the book. And this book actually is a wonderful keepsake book. It has a dedication page for you to personalize it. It also has a blank page for you to write the various recipes for living you wish to record for all times. And for those of you who love cooking, I have also included 9 recipes from my various moms as icing on the cake. Again, the book is available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And when I started writing this book, it was originally intended to be a cookbook, but in the course of doing my research and sitting together with all my various moms, then I realized that there was a greater story needed to be told, that is motherly love. And over the years, it's been wonderful knowing these wonderful women, 9 of them, from throughout the country, and of whom 3 have already passed on. But their memories are always with me. Their words of wisdom has always been with me and helped me to understand and decipher the various mysteries of living, and has helped me accomplish a lot in my life. And for that, I'm very, very thankful. And I wrote this book, From My Mama's Kitchen, to honor them as well as to honor moms everywhere for their contribution in making a positive difference in the life of their loved ones. Sometimes in life we take things for granted. We just don't pay as much attention as we need to. Although we all strive to live in the now, but when we're in the now, the greatest fear sometimes is that we're not focused on appreciating the now as much as we need to. And for that, I hope that this book will help to to rekindle those various wonderful memories of you and your own mom, and help to bring motherly love to the forefront of today's world for us, especially. And I know that this next coming Mother's Day is going to be very special for me, because I'm going to be in Baton Rouge with 3 of my moms to be on the air for a Mother's Day special on the TV on TV at WAFB in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Any special thoughts that you want to throw in at the same time, Emily, about your thoughts about the book? I know you've read the book, so certainly feel free to share your thoughts on the air with other listeners.
I think it's a great book for Mother's Day, because anyone can relate to it, because it's a feel-good book. It's a book you can, you know, sit down and read. It's an easy read, and it makes you feel good, and you connect with each of the characters from your book. And by reading your book and then joining the radio show, you kind of get a sense of why you wrote it, and you feel like you already know these characters because you've read a little bit about them.
Yeah, you have been for the last several weeks. Had an opportunity to meet my various moms on the air, and so I kind of listened to our conversations, some interesting conversation that is. 2 weeks ago, obviously, I had my progressive and spiritual mom. She's 91 years old, Elsa Mae Stevens from Hammond, Louisiana, and still sharp as ever. You knew that, and you when you listened to her on the air. And then last week you met my Texan earthly mom, who actually was wonderful on the air. I mean, she really had so much wonderful things to share with me and with everyone, and is just a wonderful person to talk to and have so much wisdom in her in sharing her thoughts with all of us, and so it's quite fascinating. And so I'm very, very thankful. Next week we will have my German mom to join us, and Diane Heise is the youngest among all the moms that I know. She's 70 years old and will be 71 this year. But her, she has such a caring and nurturing personality. It's just truly amazing and very pragmatic and practical at the same time. Another mom that I met through ballroom dancing, my Cajun mom I met through ballroom dancing. And let me actually give you a quick rundown on how I met my Cajun mom. She and I met in the fall of 2000 at Rick Seeling's dance studio in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And she is actually a honeybee farmer during the day and a beginner's ballroom dancer at that time in Baton Rouge. And, of course, now she's an excellent ballroom dancer. She does competition with her instructor at different places, and she just enjoyed dancing. Dancing brought a wonderful sort of give her an additional outlet to express herself and her sense of humor in everything that she does as far as living her life in Baton Rouge and in Plaquemine. In the book, I shared her wisdom with everyone, and I like to read that portion of her contribution here. The natural life can always be funny and humorous. The most ordinary event usually ends up being the sweetest memory. Being present during the small moments will always make us appreciate the happiness when it happened. And that's quite interesting from that perspective. I really appreciate her input with regards to that. And I do see Ginger.
You have a call from Ginger.
And I do see Ginger right now. You're on the air with us. Ginger,
thank
how
you.
Are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm afraid that I've had technical difficulties with my phone. So
you have technical difficulties?
Hey,
you know.
I don't know what this deal is, but something has happened. Every time I get ready to talk to you, then something happens. So
really?
You know.
Now, you're 72 years old. You have a BlackBerry, and you have Bluetooth. Somebody was telling me the other day, what, your Cajun mom had a BlackBerry? You know, like, yes. She had Bluetooth,
yeah, well,
too.
You know, I kind of got to keep up with you kids, and I just want to look like I know what I'm doing. I don't necessarily have to know.
No, but it's good. You're doing a fantastic job. How was Easter, by the way?
Easter was wonderful. I went down to the coast of Louisiana, and I was with my son and grandsons, and we went fishing, and we went boat riding, and, of course, the boys cooked, but, of course, Granny had to cook breakfast for them, you know, and they kind of add to some of the dinners and stuff like that, you know, but we really had a wonderful time. We didn't catch much fish, but that's okay. We had a good time.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. You were down in Cocodrie, right?
Yes, right in Cocodrie. It's on the coast of Louisiana. It's like, I want to say, southwest of New Orleans.
Well, that's good. I'm really glad you had a good time. So did you try some other recipes besides the normal ones that you normally cook?
Oh, yes. Well, yes. Well, it's one that I got a text message from my grandson saying that they would cook Saturday night. But Granny's baked beans were really good, and they wanted Granny to fix some baked beans with their dinner.
I see. Well, that's good. I mean, you know, it looks like y'all are on top of things. And I'm looking forward to being in Baton Rouge in the next, I guess, in about 4 weeks or so when we do the show in Baton Rouge for Mother's Day. And I had a great time, too. My girlfriend, Dawn, ended up cooking Korean barbecue called kalbi.
Oh, my goodness. You got your girlfriend now? That's great.
You're teasing me, right? You know that. But, no, she's doing fine. And but so she's an excellent cook, though.
Good.
I have to
great.
Say that. Yeah, she managed the kitchen very, very well, and so I'm very, very happy that I had the chance to eat some wonderful Korean barbecue for Easter, which normally I love leg of lamb, obviously, but now I have a chance to try something new and different and like it very, very much. So
well,
I'm really glad.
Good, and I'm always game for trying new foods.
That's true.
I just
That's
enjoy
true.
That, you know.
And but having you on today is wonderful because, you know, some of the listeners may have already listened to you about 3 weeks ago. And at that time, we have this huge technical glitch, I think, on my end as far as the switchboard is concerned. And we're off there for about, I think, 10 minutes or so. No one could hear us. So I decided to ditch
I
that
was
show.
Really, I was panicking very well because here I am outside and I – You know, I told you, had everything set up, everything was charged, and I looked at my BlackBerry, and it said too low battery.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking, I can't believe this. So anyway, I'm inside my friend's house, and so I'm calling you on the regular phone.
Oh, okay. See? Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Well, I appreciate you, you're doing this show this morning with us. And I've been telling the listeners how we met. You know, we met at Rick Sealing's dance studio in the fall of 2000, and about you being a honeybee farmer by day and, of course, at that time a beginner's ballroom dancer at night. And so we I think our friendship relationship developed after we started dancing the jitterbug. So and then it was just that's
definitely.
It, I got hooked.
I'm pure Cajun, honey, and that's my dance.
I understand that. So it was wonderful. It was great. Your wonderful sense of humor has always been a tremendous influence in me because in making me feeling good about everything that I do, and just taking life less seriously. And one of the things that I want to talk about today is that I had included recipe for living in recipe number 16. Actually, having a sense of humor in everything we do. And perhaps you can tell me a little bit, you know, more and the audience here about how you take life as being very jovial and a very, I guess, wonderful, lighthearted way.
Well, I think the way things go, especially since my husband died like 13 years ago, well, even before that, way before that, I've always been the type of person to kind of look on the better side of things. My husband always said that I looked at a glass of water half full. Mm-hmm. He looked at a glass of water half empty.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like to me that if you have a very optimistic or but not so much optimistic as just have faith in what you're saying, things usually turn out the way they should. It may be a hard time or whatever, no matter what it is. But if you put a lot of jovial, you know, craziness, I guess you want to say, with the Cajuns, we enjoy that. We enjoy that, and we look forward to doing things like that. And we just like to have a good time. And I always have a good time, no matter what I'm doing. Even if I'm working, I do enjoy it.
No, it's true, though. I mean, I've seen that in you over the years when I was in Baton Rouge, and it was always fine. I've never seen you a time where anything that happened that you kind of take it real strongly. I mean, well, I mean it in a good way now. I mean, like, things happen. And, and I have a because of your take in life and your sense of approach in life, you know, with humor that we can always look at and find the lighter side of things to make to be positive regardless of whatever we encounter, it makes a big difference because I know in my life there are many times, especially with challenges, whether it's business or personal or whatever that is, or something silly. For example, like say if you forgot something, I know like yesterday I had to drive all the way back to my house to get the computer cord for my laptop. Rather than being upset about it, it's like I'm laughing at myself. You know, I can't believe this. Like, here I'm rushing to get to work. I'm finally here. And then my battery, you know, only will last like 5 minutes because it's an old battery. I've never really replaced the battery. But now so I have to drive all the way back and get my my cord back, you know, to bring it all the way to the office. And of course, I have two choices. To get all upset about it and bent out of shape, and oh, I can look at it, you know, this is maybe this is a wonderful time to reflect. Maybe I didn't pay attention enough, and I'm smiling, and I'm thinking, you know, like, huh, great. So, you know, it's meant to be, and it's like one of those things when you're running down the road, and then you have this little obstacle that sort of wake you up because, like, you're in a daze or something, and you need something to kind of catch your attention, you know, and say, wait a minute now. Stay focused here. So I look at things that way. And there are many, many times that way. There are many times when I try to attend, and when I attended events, and having to turn back around because I forgot something. And not that I'm a forgetful person. I don't want to come across as being someone that's forgetful. But it's just something that, you know, we pay attention, but then we don't pay attention. Our minds are running. And then we have a choice. Do we, when we remember that we are supposed to do something, or when something don't go quite the way we want it, how do we react to it? And having humor is just a wonderful feeling.
It is, and actually, it's like I remember. I don't know if it was my mother or someone else told me, because when I got married very young. Mm-hmm. I had kids on top of kids, and I, you know, my husband and all that, and I never worked outside the home. So I was one of these typical housewives. Well, between four kids and a husband and trying to get things done, someone had told me, well, you know, Ginger, when life hits you really bad and you got lemons, you make lemonade. And I think you would just kind of look at them as if to say, you're out of your mind. I have all this stuff going on. But if you stop and think about it, it's true. If you, you know, take a deep breath and just keep on going and you say, okay, now what can I do to make this better? Or, you know, how can I do this differently or something like that? Usually, the things, I built a house, I had a house built, I didn't build it myself, but I had a house after my husband died because it was something I wanted, and I turned around and I had to deal with all the business people, okay, and the contractors, and I was actually more or less contracting my own house, I guess, but the point was, is that I found if I gave a good outlook, if I was kind of upbeat with whoever I was talking to, I usually never had any problems. If somebody was really very stubborn and hard-headed, then, of course, then the Cajun comes out in me, and I'll just tell them real nicely, you know, no, this is not the way it's going to be. This is the way I, you know. But the point is, there's very few times I've had to do that. I've worked with people, and I usually don't have any problems, and I usually go, you know, we seem to be able to get along really well.
Well, good. I'm really glad. I mean, I know, knowing you over the years, it's been one thing that really grabs me is that over the years was you were never afraid to try something new, and you're brave. I mean, based on what you told me, like, wow, gee, you know, I've always been home. My husband took care of this. My husband took care of that. I never really have been exposed to this. And people don't realize it, you know, and I mentioned about the fact that you did, you're still doing ballroom dancing. And now, some 8-9 years later, you are competing. You're actively competing in the Pro-Am circuit. And that takes courage and confidence. And people don't realize the how significant that is, because sometimes it's one thing just doing dancing, And if I could relate to someone, sometimes it's wonderful to see people, and then when we come up to the floor just to do a regular social dance, it's frightful enough. Like, oh my God, I mean, what am I doing? I can't do this. And then you're talking about taking up a notch to the next level, doing show dancing, doing a competition where all eyes are on you. And for you, Ginger, you know, coming out of that sort of conditioning and everything else, that is an inspiration to a lot of people. And I'm very sure it has made a bigger impact among your children. And, you know, of course, in my case, I'm on the outside here, but, you know, it made an impact in my life. And then you having a wonderful sense of humor. And I've met, you know, your daughter, who lives here in Dallas, and a wonderful lady. And so it's certainly a wonderful reflection of your attitude and your take of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really, I don't think about, actually, I just don't think about things like that. I just like to try new things. I usually tell someone, I'm just game for almost anything. I always put the almost in there because you never know what somebody might suggest.
Right,
you know,
but
usually, and I find that if you kind of give people a light attitude, not one that, you know, like you don't care about anything, but the thing is that if you do that, I'll just go up to them and tell them hello, and this is at the studio, and a lot of these people come in and they're petrified. They just scared to death. And I will talk to them and just tell them hello and how you're doing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I told one lady one time, she was in a class that I had been in, and she got there, and she sat down, and I told her, I said, oh, how you doing, honey? And I gave her a little pat on the shoulder and gave her a little kiss on the cheek, and she looked at me. My goodness, she said, you just made my day. She said, I have had a horrible day. I'm thinking, okay.
No, it does. I think having someone to walk them through, and then now you've been around for a while at the dance studio at Rick Sealings, and that certainly makes a big difference. And I know it's a comfort, even whether to younger adults or older ones, to have someone who is confident. You exude that sort of floor of presence. I think you know what I'm talking about as far as dancing is concerned. And in life, it's the same way. Are we walking, you know, is our the steps that we take purposeful? Are the steps we take with confidence? How the aura that we sense out, how are we being perceived by others? That's important. It's a food for thought in terms of what are we getting across, how are we looking at things, and that comes back to, again, to the one of the things you mentioned about, if we come across as being funny, lighthearted, and can somehow find humor in everything we do, then we are likely to be perceived as being kind, gentle, confident, and lovable. And in all actuality, all of these do wonders to our very own physical well-being, as we are likely to be less stressed, as we enjoy life without taking it too seriously, and if nothing else, laughter is certainly the best medicine. It's one of life's savings grace. And so I think sometimes we take it for granted about how we come across or how people perceive us and how we can lighten things up every day. Humor is something that I've always enjoyed. I know some people label me, like I never grow up. I know occasionally my girlfriend actually would tease me and says, you're like an overgrown baby. And I said, yeah. Because
I find that most guys are overgrown baby.
Oh, really? Oh, no. No, we're not. No, I just enjoy the humorous side of things. I mean, I take things very lightly and just enjoying the fact that having the opportunity to, not be stressful about things. Living life in a wonderful way, looking at things. That doesn't mean that I'm ignoring reality now.
Well,
a lot of times,
you won't, I think in your book, to me, when I read it, mm-hmm. it was like, it is really great. I like some of the phrases that you put in there mm-hmm. about life is either choice or chance or options.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that when you choose whatever you're going to do, if things don't really turn out right, you know, you try not to be so down in the dumps or whatever, just mm-hmm. pick your feet up and start all over again, and you start doing what you'd like to do. And mm-hmm. eventually, with people, and people will look at you, and if you've got this positive attitude,
right.
then they're more likely to listen to what you're doing or what you're saying.
Right, right, right. No, it's true. It's very true. It's how, and this is not one of the things that people don't realize too, and I know my book is about moms making a positive difference in the lives of all of us. But one of the things that people don't realize also, as individuals, we have the opportunity to make a positive difference in the lives of people that that come into contact with us. Because whether we like it or not, we do make an impact on people's life, visual or verbal. When you run into someone on the street or wherever you go, they see you. We're all very visual. We see how this person react in some sort of way, and somehow we absorb that energy subconsciously. You know, if she's happy, then I'm happy. She's kind of like, oh, something is disturbing her. We
yes.
get kind of disturbed about it, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I can always tell when my youngest son that just moved across the road from me is living there now, and he knows me very well, too. And he'll say, Mom, are you doing okay? Are you mm-hmm. feeling all right? If I'm not, I'm either down or I'm just mm-hmm. really not feeling good. Something
yeah.
might be not seriously wrong, but
right.
maybe out of whack.
Right.
And, yes, it does make a big difference like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, I can always tell when my children are upset or they're tired
right.
or something like that, even talking to them on the phone.
Right.
And they've got their own lives, and, you know, but we all keep in touch with each other. And, you know, it really makes a big difference in the world. I can always tell if they got something going on or they're not doing too great. Then I usually cut the call. I'll say, well, you know, baby, I'll talk to you later and see how
right.
things go, you know.
I want to bring something up. I don't know whether you mind me bringing this up. But it just reminded me, I think it was 2 years ago when you were battling a personal cancerous issue.
Yes,
and,
I was.
Yeah, and one thing that I think if you recall, the conversation that we have was having humor in what we do, and it's because I think your positive attitude that makes a positive difference in your life, because you created you know, a positive energy, and you look at it from a very different perspective. And I've seen you then during that time, and I've seen you after, obviously, and so tell us a little bit more about that, how you approach that with that sort
I always really worried about how I would handle something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been basically a very healthy person,
mm-hmm.
you know, considering 4 kids and a husband.
And eating all the Cajun food.
And a Cajun too. And but anyway, so when the primary doctor that I have
mm-hmm.
insisted I take these tests because she was concerned of one of my medications affecting
mm-hmm.
my liver. And
right.
so anyway, long story short is they finally went through all the tests, and then she tells me, well, Virginia, she said, you got to go see a gynecologist. And I'm thinking, wait a minute now. They had nothing to do with the liver.
Right,
I don't know anything
right.
about it. But anyway, come to find out that there was, it looked like a mass.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeon, which is a very good friend of mine, a
mm-hmm.
ballroom dancer too,
mm-hmm.
she told me, Ginger, it looks fine. She said, it looks like it's benign.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, she said, when I operate, you're not going to leave until I find out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come find out. It was definitely malignant. It hadn't expanded. And
mm-hmm.
I told my kids when they found out, they were going ballistic on me,
yeah.
you know.
Right.
And I said, look, baby, I've had a good life. the good Lord knows what He wants to do, and if it's in His plans, good. We will take it as it comes, and so we did. And I told him, I said, look, I know I'm going to do, I am not going to give up. I am going to keep on working, working with this. So we did. We did the surgery. Everything was fine. I have not had any trouble with of that since then. But exactly a year to the day, I came down. I had another surgery of double cancers, in one in each breast. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're trying to make life very interesting for me. And but that one I had, they wanted to do radiation on it.
Right.
And the thing was is that when I first got there, didn't know what was going on, you know, was a little bit on the petrified side. I turned around, but they had music in the background, one of the satellite stations.
Right.
And I looked at them, and I'm not supposed to move. Okay, you're telling a Cajun not to move.
Right.
So I'm looking at these technicians, and I said, okay, you guys, do you realize what kind of music you got on there, and you want me not to move? So they laughed, and but anyway, it was, I was just, I was determined to do whatever they asked me or whatever they needed me to do, and it looks like it worked out just fine. I haven't had any problems so far.
No, that's great. That's wonderful. And I wanted, I wanted you to share that, because I think people don't realize sometimes that what humor can do and how we take things, because our body is a closed system. You create, you can't create something without causing something, an effect somewhere else.
Yes.
And one of the things actually I'm reading right now is about sound, and it's interesting you brought up sound as in music that they were playing, when they were operating on you and everything else, because I'm reading something about vibration, sound. We know that how light affects our mood and our body and everything else. Research now has shown that sound waves, everything is vibrating. Technically speaking, all the molecules in our bodies, have a slow, a low vibration and everything else. And so they say that sound frequency can actually heal.
Yes.
Because our body takes certain amount of vibrations, certain parts have different notes and stuff like that, which is kind of fascinating. And so I'm looking into it, just for the educating myself, basically, on that, and I find it's quite fascinating about how the music that we listen to, is it soothing? Does it get you heartbeat, up and heart rate up and everything else? And so it's quite interesting in what we do, and I know you enjoy music and you enjoy dancing, but that's what it is. And people actually ask me, when I do my ballroom dance, they say, what's your favorite dance, or what's your favorite form that you like to do, whether it's waltz, foxtrot, or tango? And I said, it's the music. I feel it, and I enjoy dancing to it.
Yeah.
So today I might like waltz. Tomorrow I might like the rumba.
It depends what your mind is thinking on, or what your body is in tune to. Because I love all dances. I really do. I have some that I'm more adaptable to, but I'm still working on the ballroom. My teacher's trying to make me a ballroom dancer, and I told him he is a glutton for punishment, because I love doing it. I just don't know if I do it like they're supposed to do it. But anyway,
but you're
sort of
inspiration for
it.
Everybody, so it makes a big difference.
Yes, yes. And so I really do enjoy, I enjoy doing any kind of dance. I really do. And I'll even dance with the teenagers that do their own style of dancing. And I'm afraid my granddaughter's friends like to have a fit when they saw me out there. But, Ginger always leaves a lasting impression on people.
There
I'm not
going
to say which kind it is.
No, I'm sure it's a good one. I'm sure it's a very good, positive one. And I know you certainly have done that for me. And my mom certainly enjoyed meeting you. And overall, she's very thankful, actually, for all you wonderful women that had sort of come into my life and become a member of my so-called team of counsel over the years, that I'm able to call different people at different times. And that's one of the things that in a conversation that I had a few weeks back, and I said, yeah, I'm very fortunate because we go through life with different things that we encounter, and I completely understand that there's certain things you don't want to talk to your birth mom about. You don't want to talk
definitely
to so-and-so about. And it's funny. I say, yeah, over the years, I've accumulated myself 9 different moms that I can talk about just about different things.
That's
and,
right.
So,
you know, when she say, oh, well, I can talk to her about that, but I don't sure enough don't want to talk to somebody else about something else.
Right. That in itself is humorous. And it's funny because and I never realized that. I certainly never did realize that. It's just so happens that picking up the phone, okay, I think I need to talk to Ginger about this. Oh, okay, I need to talk to so-and-so about that. I need to talk to, because I felt like she's the best person that can help me out
mm-hmm.
with this situation or that situation and everything else, or to hear me out, give me a chance to sound off. And so I've been very fortunate from that perspective. So I really felt good about it, and so it's humorous in that way.
That's right. It is. And then, you know, the other thing, you know, like being a mother, your kids will talk to you, and you'll be saying that, and you'll say something that after you've said it, you think, oh, my God, I wonder whether I said it right or not, you know, which made them they take it.
Yeah.
But anyway, but, you know, my kids, listen, believe me, my kids with got both sides of their parents in them, and
yeah.
they were always, always into something. I mean,
mm-hmm.
especially like to pick and tease, you know.
Yeah.
So believe me, along with my kids and my husband's family and all that stuff, they kept me on my toes for quite a while. And
mm-hmm.
and even to this day, they don't give me a break. I keep telling everybody, look, I'm an old woman. You're supposed to give me a break here. And the body looked at you, ain't an old woman.
Yeah.
You got to do whatever.
Hey, you have your son moving right across the street from you now, you know. So he's keeping an eye on you. Or the other thing is like having this subconscious thing about wanting to stay close to mom. And,
yes, definitely.
Yeah, you see, and for me, what's interesting is that for years, my mom is saying, son, come home. I miss you. You're halfway around the world. You need to be back close to Malaysia.
Baby.
Yeah, you know, and I said, no.
Oh, well, I enjoyed it when I did get to meet her. The only
mm-hmm.
disappointment I had is that, of course, being a Cajun and you know, just learning, just actually knowing one really good language. I
mm-hmm.
used to do a little bit French, but I wasn't able to talk with her. But I guess with the Cajun talking with her hands and everything, maybe she got a gist of what I'm trying to tell her.
No, you'd be surprised. I think that's the other thing also. I think it's more of a universal language. I think people can actually truly communicate if they
yeah.
want to. There's no barrier. I remember when I was in college at LSU, and I had a roommate from Peru, and he was at LSU learning the English language, as a foreign language. I think TOEFL is what they call it. So
uh-huh.
anyway, he was on campus he was at LSU for a semester, and he finally realized, his name is Eduardo, it was very interesting, he finally realized, like, I need to find a different roommate rather than rooming with a guy from my country when I'm asking a Spanish guy in Spanish how to solve an English problem. And it was real funny. You know, it was like, I started laughing, and he started laughing. He says, yeah, you know, it's like, so this is really weird, right? So I'm here in the United States. I'm asking my question in Spanish to a Spanish-speaking guy how to solve an English problem, you know. So it's like, and then I'm supposed to be learning English.
I'm afraid you're, especially the French and the Cajuns, their outlook, I swear up and down, I'll tell people things and it's like, I think I'm talking in a different language. They still don't get the meaning of what I'm saying. So I'm thinking, okay.
Your action makes a difference, and your demeanor and everything else make a difference. And needless to say, what was interesting about in my case with Eduardo was we ended up drawing pictures. And so he does not know the English name or word for it or something. So he'll draw it. And I say, oh, dog or cat or whatever that
uh-huh.
is. And then in my case, then if I'm trying to relate to him, it's like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. So I have to draw something and show him. He say, oh, okay, I see now. And so we had a wonderful time just communicating. And so when you learn to accept and open yourself up, you know, open your senses, so to speak, make a big difference. And when my mom was here, she knew all my neighbors. I mean, that was quite interesting. And they actually cooked for her. And uh-huh. she would cook for them. And it's like, do you really communicate? I said, not really, but she brought this food over here for us to eat. So for me to try. So in return, the next day, I want to fix this for her, okay? Is that all right with you? I said, oh, sure, of course. It's like, okay. You know,
well,
so.
that's what I do with people. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the thing is... I think if nothing else, food will usually take it. I mean, mm-hmm. you give them something to eat. My mother always did when she babysat my kids when I would go to grocery stores and all that stuff. And they were little toddlers, little ones, okay? And they would be walking around, and she had cookies. And you had to have one cookie for each hand.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they had cookies in their hand, they didn't give her any problems. That was our idea of taking care of kids.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful, though, because, and that's why, coming back to my book, I ended up, when I first putting it all together, I named it, called it From My Mama's Kitchen, because I had a wonderful time just talking to my mom and talking to you guys. And what's interesting is, of course, I never did really start learn how to cook till I was 18, and
uh-huh.
when I'm here in the States rather than in Malaysia, so everything was new. It was the process of like learning and experimenting with things and calling my mom and say, hey mom, how do you prepare this? And we are about 13 hours different in time.
Mm-hmm.
So what's good about it, when I go home at night at 7-8 o'clock at night to cook, she's around 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. So
that's
I'm able
perfect.
To talk to her, and she walked me through certain ingredients and everything else. And of course, she was first to anxious to send me all the good ingredients from Malaysia to cook the curry powders and everything else. So it was just wonderful, the spices. So these are the little things that people don't realize that I think if you allow yourself to be open and to be receptive to all of this, you can really truly enjoy. The relationship from a humorous perspective, and I know the first time when she came here to visit me, and I was cooking everything using instant spices, like instant garlic to cook, instant onion, and by the second or third day, I was repeating what I was cooking the first day. So she said, get out of the kitchen, let me take over, let me cook you some food, and before we do that, we need to do some grocery shopping. And then it was funny because there are things that this is something you're talking about, humorous stuff. I never know because I don't eat vegetables, so I don't know about different things. And I was going out there to buy cantaloupes and honeydew melons. I would go and try to find the hardest one, you know, when you're supposed to feel it. Right. But my idea is, of course, the hardest one is good because the softer ones, that means it's not so good. It's like old. It's about to go bad. So
mm-hmm.
she started laughing at me because I would get the hot ones, and then when I would cut it at home, it doesn't taste very good because it's not ripe, obviously. Plus, you can only get, like, what, maybe an inch of it, you know, to eat, and then the rest
mm-hmm.
you throw away. So, like, so she had to teach me about all that stuff, about finding the ripe ones, and how do you find a ripe cantaloupe? How do you find the right honeydew? How do you find a ripe... pineapple. So we have those wonderful humorous times just conversing on everyday living. And from that,
yes,
it just sort of evolved over the years and in all areas of our lives, you know. So, that was interesting.
That is, and the thing is, I find when I'm cooking something and I serve it to them or whatever, and they'll say, "Oh man, this is delicious! What did you do?" And well, did you do such and such mix? I said, "No, I cook from scratch." "You what?" I said, "Yeah, I use fresh ingredients and I cook from scratch." And I'm afraid some people think it's like a foreign language or something, you know, because they have no idea what to do. But I find I'll go to Dallas. There's a lot of things in Dallas that you cannot get that was from originally here. So you have to make substitutions, and they works out okay. But you know, really and truly, you like to, you know, more or less get what you can. And my daughter, when she comes here to Baton Rouge, she will go to the store and pick up whatever she wants so she can take back to Dallas, because she has, you know, she would ask me, she'd call me long distance and ask me how to do such and such and things like that. And so finally, of course, and my kids have their own style of cooking, and I always told them, told anybody, you cannot exactly duplicate what you're doing because you have your own style of cooking.
That's correct.
And your mother has your own style of cooking.
And that's like living, though, you know. Everybody has their
own
upper and lower limits. And so having said that, it's just more of how we, the formulas are there, but it's how you apply it based on your upper and lower limits, how your comfort zone. That's what I call it in the book.
That's what makes you feel better, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
like
your ability to handle it. Well, Ginger, we're coming close to the end of the show, and what I want to do is actually, is as we wind down the hour here on the air, we're heading to right now is the dessert segment, and I'd like you to share your recipe for living with us. I knew you mentioned that last week. I mean, well, 3 weeks ago when you were here. So, do you remember the recipe that you shared with us? The recipe for living, which I had lots of comments on.
Yes. This is. I was trying to think of something my mother told me, and I'm afraid I took after my daddy in personality. My mother didn't say too many things, but when I had the kids, when I was first married, I had, like I said, all the kids and my husband. And she'd we always serve coffee when you come to somebody's house in the Cajun country. And so I must have been standing up, and she'd look at me, and she said, "Ginger, you sit down and drink your coffee." And I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, "Oh, Mama, what are you doing?" Anyway, but she's not the type of person you would, you know, say anything to. And then she turned around and looked at me. She says, "You will never get rich drinking coffee standing up." And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out what she was talking about. But once you start thinking about it, the thing is that if you sit down when you're having a break of whatever you're doing, you just sit down and relax. Start enjoying life, or maybe looking at the scenery, or thinking of something that you would like to do, and then by the time you get through with that, it doesn't have to be very long. It could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. But if you can relax enough to do that, then once you start whatever job or whatever idea you want to start with, then it makes you feel better because you renewed yourself and you've got yourself feeling better about things. And you know, then you have a better understanding of life and a positive outlook on life.
Right. It's just being mindful, and I understand exactly what you're talking about. That's what I was trying to explain to someone, some people that asked me about it, and I said, well, what it is just being mindful that you take a personal time out. It's a contemplation, because we always think about the future, the present, and we never actually pay attention to the now. And now is enjoying the moment and sipping and really focusing on what you're doing. You're drinking, you're enjoying the taste of the coffee, you're sitting down, relaxing, you're feeling the coffee going down you know, your throat and the wonderful feeling that you have, the senses that you, the aroma of the coffee, those kind of things, and what does that lead to as it clears, open up your nasal and those kind of things. So I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I do thank you for sharing that wonderful recipe for living with us again during this show. And I believe, Ginger, we made it. I cannot believe it. No glitch this time.
I can't believe it either. I was really, really getting very panicky when
I was there.
I said, I can't do this to this kid. I can't. So I went in and so I'm panicking
over here, right? Like, oh, I'm sweating over here. But no, thank you so much for being with us on the air.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
that. Take care,
babe. Much. All right, you too, okay? Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, guys, that's my mom, my Cajun mom, Ginger White, from Plaquemine, Louisiana. A wonderful lady. I hope you guys have enjoyed our conversation about having the right attitude, I guess, in life, having a sense of humor in everything we do. And it's a wonderful day to be thinking about this as we get out of Easter and heading towards, I guess, the next 4 weeks or so. Looking forward to Mother's Day. I'd like to give you a quick rundown about what's going on for future dates with this show, as well as with my book, From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Next week, I'll be having my German mom, Diane Heise. She's 70 years old. I believe she's going to be 71 this year, and she'll be joining me from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She is the last mom I'm going to be having on this show, and she'll be helping me to close out, I guess, this show as far as the mom series is concerned. And on the 28th of this month, at the end of the month, I will be having Rebecca Utley of Hope Cottage Pregnancy and Adoption Center here in Dallas, Texas. Hope Cottage has been around since 1918 in helping families adopt children. And recently, obviously, they help people with pregnancy and everything else. And the topic of discussion for Rebecca and I would be the rewards of adoption from a parents and child perspective. And that will be on April 28th, coming up at the end of this month. Please join us then. And if you'd like to have more information about that, please go to FromMyMamasKitchenTalkRadio.com. And with regards to happenings with my book, we are starting a national media tour starting in May. We're starting off, of course, here in Dallas, Texas, and or in Texas, the state of Texas. On May 2nd, there will be a meet and greet and a speaking engagement at Barnes & Noble in South Lake, Texas at 2 o'clock. May the 7th, I'll be on a radio show with Tanya Moody, of AM Good Morning Texas at 8:50 in the morning on the same day, May the 7th, which is Thursday. We'll have a meet and greet and a speaking engagement at Barnes & Noble in Lubbock, Texas at 6:30. And May the 8th, the next day, which is a Friday, going into Mother's Day weekend, I'll have a meet and greet and speaking engagement at Rick Sealing's Dance Studio in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at 8 o'clock at night. This is a special book signing and speaking engagement with the ballroom community in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is where actually Rick Sealing's is where I met my Cajun mom, Ginger White, and also the Baton Rouge community, ballroom dance community, is where I met two other of my moms, my late ballroom instructor mom, Betty Thomas, as well as my German mom, Diane Heise. And on May the 9th, which is a Saturday, the next day, we will have a meet and greet and a special speaking engagement at the Catholic Life Center in Baton Rouge. The tentative time for that is 10:30 in the morning. And on May the 10th, Mother's Day itself, the morning of Mother's Day, my Cajun mom, my progressive spiritual mom, and my German mom will be joining me on TV on a program called This Morning Weekend, WAFB Channel 9 with Kelly Hennessy. And on May 16th, meet and greet and speaking engagement at Barnes & Noble in Arlington, Texas at 1 p.m. So that's pretty much the rundown of what's happening with From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio as well as the book. If you just happen to catch us on the air right now, my name is Johnny Tan, and I'm your host for this weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show, and we air from 10 to 11 every Tuesday morning, Central Standard Time. Feel free to call in at 347-327-9995 to join us on the air. Thank you again for joining us again this morning, and I wish you well, and have a great and wonderful week for this upcoming week. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye. Emily?